Welcome to the midday for a Friday. I'm Norman Gilliland, and I mentioned Carl Maria von Weber and how you could hear more of his music other than the Oberon Overture. Well, you can hear his First Symphony tonight at 8 o'clock when the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra performs at the Capitol Theater in Madison. Also on that program, a very short little suite by Stravinsky and two piano concertos, one by the Irish composer John Field from about 1799. And then one of the most famous piano concertos of all, the piano concerto number 21 in C by Mozart. And both of those concertos will be played by my guest, John O'Connor. Welcome. Welcome to the midday.
Thank you very much indeed.
And we've certainly enjoyed hearing your CDs, so many of them over the years. And
thank you.
Dazzling stuff. That's all well and good, but the question that I have foremost on my mind is, given your origins, what exactly is Blarney?
Blarney is just a gift of the gab, as they call it in Ireland. Just a way of chatting that keeps it going and somehow or another manages to keep people interested, and you don't believe a word of it half the time.
I like that. I like that. I do believe the explanation, at least. That's right.
But you've been to Blarney but didn't kiss the Blarney Stone.
I've heard rumors.
Oh, I've kissed the Blarney Stone.
Have you?
Yes, I've actually done it and leant over backwards and kissed it years ago.
How was that for you?
I've done it. I've said it. You know, it's one of those things you do because, you know, you can say you've done it. But I brought some Americans one time, and this very elegant lady looked at everybody leaning over backwards and kissing this piece of wall and said, I think I'll just blow it a kiss.
I think to maintain, a polite relationship with a stone is probably advisable.
Well, somebody once said to me, you talk enough, so you shouldn't really have kissed the Blarney Stone because we never shut you up now.
I hadn't thought about that. That's right. There is supposed to be some magical power to it, isn't there?
Something like that, they say.
And you are originally from Dublin, though.
That's right.
A ways away from the Blarney Stone.
Yes, about 100 miles.
Great place for music, though.
Oh, Dublin's a great place. It was a good place growing up in Dublin, and the concerts used to be free. The symphony orchestra used to play Tuesdays and Fridays. So few people wanted to go that they wanted to get an audience. So they used to have concerts for free, and lots of people started going. So they eventually made them all paying. Now it's terrible. There are no free concerts, which is very, very disappointing. But it was wonderful at the time and a great way of getting to know the whole repertoire and getting to know a lot of other people. Because when you're growing up sort of in Ireland where everybody expects you to be into sports or something like that, and classical music at that stage wasn't really looked upon as something that somebody did, particularly if you were a guy. So it was good to meet friends who used to go to the concerts regularly too.
Yeah, that's interesting because James Galway, who was here, a couple of years ago now, said something much the same about his experience in Northern Ireland.
Yeah, I know. It's an awful pity. I mean, he got by because he could play the tin whistle could play the fifes in the five and drum bands. But really, I remember a few years ago being in Prague and seeing a boy walking along the street aged about 11 with a violin, and I thought, gosh, I hope I see that in Dublin one day, because normally in Ireland you see a hurley stick or something like that or a tennis racket or something like that. But
was there a pianist that you saw that inspired you to be a pianist in one of those early concerts?
Well, yes, I went to a teacher who was very inspiring. He was used to talk about in dreams and what could happen, and he had an older student who was very beautiful, and she played the piano incredibly well, and that interested me a lot.
Which part?
No, she played the piano very well. She was about 8 years older than me, or 10 years old, something like that. Uh-huh. So I just admired her greatly, and I remember when I was 11, I was at that stage doing a lot of drama as well, and speech and drama. I was interested in both a lot, and another guy who and I were doing drama rehearsal for something or other, and we came on the street one day and he saw an actor walking by that had just been in the Abbey theatre in Dublin, and he got terribly excited and started telling me all about him. And I remember looking at this guy walking past and saying, you know, if that was Veronica McSweeney, who was this pianist, I'd be very excited. And my parents were putting pressure on me going into high school. You know, you have to decide, is it music or theatre that you want to be interested in? So that made me give up the theatre. And the funny thing is that the other guy has been head of the Guthrie Theatre in Minneapolis for many years.
No,
Joe Dowling. He's from Dublin. And I think he's just left. He was there about 25 years. But it's very funny. He went where he wanted to go, and I went where I wanted to go.
Well, in a sense, you had your cake and eat it too, because in public performance of music, there is a degree of theater.
Yes, absolutely. And I think it's very important. I keep on saying to students, you should actually go and see the theatre and see actors and see how they perform. Not only how they perform, but how they use silence to actually attract attention. When there's a silence in a piece, don't rush through it. Make everybody sit up and listen. It can be very effective.
That is so true.
Yeah.
Well, this is a piece that you've recorded and you're going to be playing it tonight.
Yes.
You recorded, in this case, back in 1990, and it's the Piano Concerto No. 21 in C by Mozart, one of, as I said, the most famous of concertos, partly because of the movies, but before that, too.
Absolutely. No, I mean, it's just, this is one of the most beautiful movements that Mozart wrote. I mean, the very fact that it was in the film Elvira Madigan gave it a certain notoriety, as it were. But it showed that the director had a good idea. I mean, it was beautifully used in the movie, and the trouble is that no kid these days has ever seen the movie, but they know the name.
Yeah, well, that's right. Yeah, and it doesn't have any connection to the plot or anything.
No, nothing at all.
In fact, the movie is a rather grim thing.
Yes, but it's good background effect.
Yeah, yes, it does work very well.
And it's a glorious melody.
Mozart had a gift for that, didn't he? And
certainly
so,
did.
Here's John O'Connor with the Scottish Chamber Orchestra, Charles McCarris conducting the middle movement, the Andante, from Mozart's 21st Piano Concerto. You know, if ever a piece of music could be described as delicious, that would be one. It's just one that you must really, really immerse yourself in, I would think.
It's a privilege to play it. I mean, it's one of the great joys of having done all these years' practice is that you can get out on stage and play some of this in magical music, and people love it so much.
That was John O'Connor from 1990 with the Scottish Chamber Orchestra.
When I was 10. Of course.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the picture here, yeah.
I had hair in that picture, yes.
A lad of 10. Scottish Chamber Orchestra, Charles McCarris conducting. You heard the middle movement of Mozart's Piano Concerto No. 21 in C. And a composer that seems to be becoming better known in this country after a couple hundred years. Irish composer is another one whose music... have you recorded everything by John Field?
Pretty much. There are a few smaller pieces I haven't done, but when I was doing started my recordings with Telarc in the 1980s, and the Beethoven recordings were going really well, and Bob Wood said to me, is there anything you particularly want to record? And my great friend Veronica McSweeney, I spoke about before, she had recorded the John Field Nocturnes on disc, but not on CD.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't want to ever produce a recording that, let's say, competed with hers, because I love the lady. And but they hadn't come out on CD, so I said, yes, I'd love to do these. So he said, no, nobody will buy them, you know. And I remember in 1988, I was up in Cleveland and about to record some more obscure Beethoven sonatas. And they said there was the radio station were having a celebration of Telarc's 10th birthday. And they asked me, would I play 3 15-minute groups and on this radio station. So I said, fine. And we were driving to the radio station and we stopped in a shopping mall. And I said, why are we stopping in the shopping mall? And they said, oh, it's in the shopping mall. And I said, it's what? They said, didn't we tell you? And I said, no, you did not tell me. So at 10 o'clock, I was playing a Haydn sonata and live on the classical music station, and people were wandering around, and a lady came out from the shop behind and said, gee, this is nice. Are we going to have this every Saturday? And I thought, okay, I'm going to just block everything else out and play to this guy who was sitting there listening to me, and he seemed intent. So... And then two-thirds of the way through the slow movement, his wife came along and said, Harry, I'm finished. So he left. You know, so the next 15 minutes, I was supposed to be playing one of these, I mean, lesser-known Beethoven sonatas. And I went to Bob Conrad and I said...
Oh, Bob Conrad.
Yes. Yeah. And I said, I'm not playing this Beethoven sonata. They don't want this in a shopping mall on a Saturday morning. So he said, what do you want to play? I said, I'm going to play 3 field nocturnes. So he said, okay. And so I did, and people came up to me afterwards and they just stopped and listened, and people phoned in, and they came up and said, have you recorded those? They're gorgeous, they're beautiful, and all the rest of it. So, and Bob Woods came to me and said, you did that on purpose? And I said, of course. And I said, are you going to record them? So we spoke, he said, we'll talk later. So I did a recording of about 15 of the nocturnes. He wrote 18.
Sure, I bought it.
And good, I'm delighted to hear it. And while they were recording, Jack Renner, who was the co-owner of Telarc, was going around doing all the recording, and Jack said, well, it's very nice, but nobody will buy it. And then they issued them and they entered the Billboard charts as one of the top selling recordings, stayed in there about 10 weeks.
Well, they are nice.
I think they're gorgeous. And they hadn't really had much publicity. And I said they deserved to be played. When I was in my late teens, I remember reading a British lexicon that said John Field was a pale imitation of Chopin.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And that got my Irish ire up, let's put it that way.
Yeah, well, what John Field is, insofar as anybody can be, is credited with inventing the nocturne.
He did. He wrote the first nocturnes in 1814. He published them in 1814. Nobody had ever published a nocturne for the piano before that. Chopin was four at the time. And then in the 1820s, Field was living in St. Petersburg in Russia. And one of his students went back to Poland and played the nocturnes, and Chopin heard them, and he wrote his own nocturnes, and the rest was history.
So it was a direct connection between Chopin and Field then?
Oh, they did, yes, absolutely. They met one time in Paris in the 1830s as rivals. They weren't very friendly towards one another.
Field in particular was not too gracious about Chopin.
Yes, yes, he was a sick room talent.
Exactly what he said, that's
yes,
right. Yeah, but
indeed.
He didn't hear, must not have heard some of the more potent Chopin pieces.
Yes.
Well, as long as we've set up the nocturne, we'll defer what we did have, which is the piano concerto. We'll get to that in a minute, but it's only fair to hear one or two of the nocturnes.
Be delighted.
By John Field, and this is from that set of 15 that my guest, John O'Connor, recorded back around 1990, maybe a little before.
Yeah, it was about that. Yes, indeed.
Two of the nocturnes by John Field, played by John O'Connor, who did a lot really to bring those nocturnes into the public eye or the public ear. They're really, that's the first, you mentioned there was an LP recording. That's the first CD recording of them, though.
Yes, I mean, they were almost not recorded at all when I recorded them. And it's nice to know that lots of other people have played them since.
Well, we'll hear one of the movements of that John Field Piano Concerto that you have recorded that you're playing tonight, too. And we'll get to our 12:30 quiz question, all of that after this here on WPR. And now before you take off for your next assignment, which is lunch, I hope, John O'Connor.
Yes, I hope so, too.
it would only be fair after this that we hear the piano concerto, some of it, that you're going to be playing tonight, the John Field first piano concerto that he wrote at the age of 17.
17, I know. Yeah. Extraordinary. He was still living in London and studying with Clementi at the time, and was developing quite a name for himself. But also Clementi was not only a very good piano teacher and a pianist and a composer, but he also built pianos.
Yeah.
And
sold them.
And sold them. But he also discovered that when John Field demonstrated his piano, he sold more pianos.
I should think.
So at about 1802, he went on a tour of Europe to sell more pianos and brought John Field along. And when they got to Russia, John Field became the darling of all the daughters of the nobility. Mm-hmm. So when Clementi left in spring, John Field said, I'm staying. And he spent most of the rest of his life in Russia.
But this concerto, well, of course, he wrote before that.
Yes.
Before that, actually has more of a sort of a pseudo-Scottish flavor to it, doesn't it?
Yes, it has. I mean, the second movement is a set of variations on a Scottish folk song. And even the last movement starts with the drone, like the bagpipes and that sort of thing. And it's probably was very popular at the time, one of those fashions.
Yes, apparently so, yeah. So this is John O'Connor, and you've recorded all seven. Are
yes.
there more than that?
No, there are seven concertos.
Seven piano concertos by John Field.
I actually recorded them in 1981. because he was born in 1782, so we recorded them in time for his bicentenary of his death.
Okay.
His birth.
Birth, right, yeah. So this is the final movement of the Piano Concerto No. 1 in E-flat by John Field. And this time, John O'Connor with the New Irish Chamber Orchestra led by Jonas Fürst.